Welcome to the Chase the Right Break podcast. Our podcast covers a wide range of topics from health, wellness, food, fitness, and everything that life holds in between. We hope that you will join us on gaining both the male and female perspective on a range of topics and issues as we delve into talking about our life and yours and how we can all be healthier, happier people. A life worth living should be easy and fun, and that's exactly what the aim of our game is. This podcast will cover all issues relating to health, but please note that none of the information should be taken as medical advice. Hi guys, and welcome to episode 39 of the Chase the Right Great podcast. I'm Jen, here with David.
Hello.
Just hanging out on our dining room table. It's totally the place to be right now.
It's the studio.
Welcome to the studio, aka the kitchen. No, it's not even the kitchen table, dining room table.
I can see the kitchen.
Yeah, you can see everything.
Can't see upstairs.
That is true. There you go. You've learned something new. Sitting on our dining room table, you can't see upstairs. Wow. People are going to...
This is why they tune in.
This is why they tune in.
Factoids. Yep.
So we're going to do a little switch up this week, and we're going to pop the rants and the raves at the end. So just stay tuned for that, because they're always awesome and they're always random.
But they haven't gone.
But they haven't gone. Don't worry. This week, we are going to talk about the concept of mastering the basics. Why are we in such a rush now to get that desire, that thing that we want so much, that we've forgotten that it actually takes time to master the basics first and work our way up to that?
Yep.
So it's that whole concept of walking before you can run. Sometimes, like, you know, walking before you can even crawl, really.
Yeah.
So it's that... Everyone's got that desire to progress beyond our ability, whether it be at work, whether it be a sport, whether it be at home, you know. Take, for example, you really want to make that special dinner. You know, you really want to master that steak. You really want to make a good steak. But in your head, mastering a good steak's too easy. It's got to be steak with, like, a Diane sauce and all fancy, and it's got to, you know...
What's that really fancy? Like,
sous vide. Oh, filet mignon.
That's the one.
It's not really fancy. It's just kind of popular in the States, but it's not really elsewhere because it's a bit dry.
Well, only if they wreck it.
Okay, anyway. yeah, so it's that... It's pushing yourself, you know, too much. It's that desire to want the overall end goal that's really, you know, bells and whistles and mm-hmm. amazing. And, you know, you forget that in order to be able to get there, you've to do the basics of mastering that small little, all those small little steps that come together.
Well, you don't have the basic skills to do the big thing.
Yeah. So, you know, how am I ever going to be able to flick myself up in a handstand if I can't ever hold myself in a handstand just against the wall?
Yeah, you won't be able to do a freestanding handstand until you're comfortable being up in a handstand against the wall. Like, it can't happen.
Yeah. So, in order... I think it's because, you know, So, because of this... We put pressure on ourselves, pressure to be perfect, pressure to be at the top, pressure to, you know,
Well, yeah, we put our worth in being able to do these amazing things, or not amazing things necessarily, but just these things that kind of look cool or sound good or. I don't know, another example could be when you first learn to drive, you're like, I want to drive a Ferrari. Well, you can't, you're 17, you're broke, you don't even know how to drive. How the hell could you think you could drive a Ferrari?
But I think it's when it goes beyond that, and it's when we start putting pressure on ourselves to be able to do it, like our worth's going to be in that.
Yeah. If I could, well, it's that logic. If I could do X, I will be happier.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be a better person.
I think that whole, you know, let's just learn how to walk before you can run. If you look at that concept and you look at babies who need to walk before they can run, they need to crawl before they can walk. You know, they don't they don't sit there going, well, I can't run.
So
what's the point? Or, you know, oh, I really, really wish I could run, but I can't even walk yet.
Yeah.
You know, they just think about one step at a time.
That one thing, because that's just, well, I can't even comprehend running because right now I'm still lying on my tummy, flapping around, trying to bloody crawl.
Yeah.
So this concept of running, although I see other people doing it, that's nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
This is separate.
I think, you know, all this can sound quite up in the air right now. And I think the next points that we're going to move into can really be where you could see yourself and what we're trying to explain. So let's just take the concept of the basics in life. There isn't any glamour in the basics. You're not going to be on the front page of the Jen Weekly News, well, David's Weekly News, because you managed to do something basic. You know, you're not going to have folk at work fawning over you.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not going to have your entire gym, like, high-fiving you and you know, making you the pupil of the week, you know, because of doing the basics. And I think because there's no glamour in it, we forget that there is still merit in being able to do it. I think, let's go back to the whole social media train and what it's kind of doing, but I really do think social media is highlighting the tricks and the talents. So it's highlighting all the fan, you know, bloody-tastic things that you can do, and it's highlighting all the circus tricks, basically, all the, you know, why bother trying to do a muscle up when you can do a muscle up into a forward roll that falls off the bar and
whilst holding a wall ball between your legs.
Yeah, you know.
But I think also with social media, like, I get it, you know, if you know those people have had to have done some progression to get to that point, and you show the highlight, you know, you don't show the 6 months where you were doing like slow dips, or because that's boring. Mm-hmm. You know, if you literally think, like, if you watch the football highlights, they don't show the 5 minutes of where you were just passing it, you know, back, forward. We're not really going anywhere, but we're kind of building momentum. You know, we've still got the ball. The other team doesn't have it. They show that last 90 seconds where, oh, suddenly you ran forward and then you scored a goal.
Yeah, and I think as well,
that's the same thing.
In, you know, you could see it. You can see it for, you know, obtaining that perfect body image. Or, say, for example, like CrossFit, because we use that as an example a lot. You can see it, you know, people showing those really heavy lifts or those gymnastic skills or things like that. But I think it's where social media has actually encroached into everyday life as well. So your career, so you could be, you know, sitting there and you're in a good company and you really want to put in the work to go up this ladder. You know, you're like, I'm in it for the long haul. And the people above you, the superiors above you, they've done that too. They've put in the work.
Well, they're above you, so by default they've...
But you know that they've put in the work.
Yeah.
And you know what they've gone through to get to where they are.
Yeah.
So you think, right, okay, I've got to do that too. But now, and you think, right, okay, I know it's going to take me 10 years maybe to get to that place because that's the age my bosses are and this is when they start. Yeah. And, you know, and you feel comfortable there. But even on social media, we're now seeing things where we're seeing people's highlights of their careers and things like that. So what happens if you turn around and, you know, you're following this person, they're doing the same kind of role as you in a different job and they get promoted.
Yeah.
And they haven't been doing the job as long as you, or they haven't, you know, you're not fully aware exactly what they do, but you think it's kind of similar, and they get promoted and they're moving up a level and everything's, you know, high fives. And then suddenly you're going, well, I should deserve to be promoted too.
Yeah.
I'm putting in the work. I should deserve to be promoted. Even though you knew that, even though you were quite happy in the fact that you had to master the basics and do those little steps to get to that, all those little steps each year in and out to be able to get to where you want. But this is where...
But that, I think, I'll jump in a bit. I think that's where, you know, it's kind of obvious with social media. You don't tend to get people on like Instagram going, my career is awesome, but you do have LinkedIn.
Yes.
So you see, so-and-so got a new job. So-and-so that you worked with 7 years ago in a different company won an award, or XYZ. And...
Or the great example of you looking at the people that you went to university with who did the same degree as you.
Yeah.
And you suddenly start going, they're now this.
But everything's different. Like, as you say, you don't know, like, I don't even know what that company does that they work for. I've never heard of them before. I don't know what they actually do. Everyone's profile on LinkedIn, you are an absolute, like, amazing person. And you've done the best projects in the world. Nobody, and that's what it's about. You know, if I go on mine, I'm not going, you know, oh, well, Tuesdays were a bit rough because...
Or you're not putting in big capital letters.
I did basic stuff that everybody has to do.
Yeah, you're not putting in big capital letters. I did loads of scut work to get to this point, you know what I mean?
Like, even your first job out of uni, you're like, I did this and I developed this system. And you're like, well, you did, but you also had, like, 90% of your time it was, like, go stand outside in the cold.
I think, so if you're at the point where you're like, what's the point? You know, why do I bother mastering the basics? You know, look at all these other people who get what they want, and did they have to put in the work? And you just don't know. It. Very few highlight reels actually show the months and years and even decades of hard work it has taken in order to get there. So I think when you're trying to figure out within yourself, you know, am I up playing myself too much, you know, am I, you know, do I really want to master the basics and work my way through? I think you have to realize that you are not aware often of what people have done to get to that point. You know, you could see your friend at university who is in a higher position than you, but you don't see all the, you know, 4-hour nights of sleep they had the weekends they had to work and all the time they had to spend away from their family traveling to be able to get to that point. No, you're just seeing that he has a fancy title and probably has a paycheck to go along with it. But, you know, you're not seeing the hard work. You're not seeing the realities.
Yeah. And I think that's part of it as well. Like, as you say, you might want the same end goal. You might want the fancy title and the bigger paycheck or the cool skill that you can do, but do you actually wish you'd gone through that same experience?
Mm-hmm.
Do you care that much? Is it that big a deal?
And I think when we're seeing it, I think there's the impression that it was easy. You know, if someone's happy at the end and they've got this amazing thing that you want or you want to be able to do, you think to yourself, oh, well, that was easy for them because of X, Y, or Z.
But that's almost proof. Someone making something look easy is proof that it's a skill that they've developed.
Mastered, yeah.
Because you could watch, like, the best soccer player. Like, if you watch, I don't know, Cristiano Ronaldo doing keepy-uppies with the ball, you can do it without them. Ah, blah, blah, over the head, flick the foot, whatever, you know. And he's like, what? How the heck did he do that? You try and you, like, boot it over the fence after two kicks. But he didn't just, like, kick a ball once and be able to do that. He has trained to do it. But because it's such a skill for him now,
yeah, he just does it. I think sometimes I wish people, when they see something that someone goes, oh, you make that look really easy, you know, they would go, oh, well, that you know, that's a talent.
Yeah.
Because you make that look really easy because you're so talented at it.
And just to
not... You make that look easy, so as I kind of go on to the next point, you make that look so easy, I should be able to do it.
Yeah. And to use a really boring example, like, now, like, I drive every day, and, like, a lot of people do, but I don't even think about it, but I do remember doing driving lessons and not understanding how things worked and stalling and crunching the gears and... you know, not turning fast enough and clipping the curb. Now I don't even think about it. But there's people there that are like they're doing their lessons and they're like, I don't understand how you can do that.
Well, you make driving look really easy, and I've done lessons and I find it really hard.
And I found it hard to teach it because I'm like, I can't remember how I learned it. Now I just do it.
Yeah, and you know, I haven't actually passed my test. I've done lessons, but I find it really hard. And that's a great example actually, because when I started driving lessons, I presumed that because I was older, I was going to find it easier.
Yeah.
That everything was going to make more sense. And that I would be able to quite quickly pick it up,
yeah.
And I'd be able to drive. And I did feel that sense of entitlement. You know, I felt like, well, yeah,
we'll just do this.
Well, I should, because I'm older. Hmm. No, when you're older. And then I soon figured out, as I was going through all the different small steps and the little lessons, I was like, first of all, this is really hard. Second of all, being older is even worse, because you know the lunatics on the road. You know what pedestrians do because you were, you know, you're a grown-up pedestrian. You know where they jump out.
Wander into the road.
You know all the stats and all the figures of people going off the road. You know the dangers and you're afraid of them.
There's something great about trying to pass your test when you're a 17-year-old boy, especially.
Yeah.
Because you're just like, whoa, this is cool.
But I think it is that sense of entitlement as well. I know.
And you saw lots of people who know how to drive and you're like, almost, I don't know, maybe you didn't, but you could imagine people going, well, if they can do it, I can do it. And I remember when I was doing my test, you saw people who passed first time, and then you saw people who didn't pass their first time, and they would be like, well, how could you pass? And I'm not able to pass. And
yeah.
It's like, well, you don't know. Maybe they've done like 15 hours extra driving with their parents in between lessons. Maybe you've just done your lessons. You don't know. Or maybe they've just got a knack for it. Maybe they fudged the test. Whatever. You don't know. Either way, it doesn't matter, because they now have a driving license and you don't.
Yeah. And as we often mention, I think an example that we see very often in CrossFit is the muscle up example.
Well, that's the holy grail of CrossFit.
Yeah, everyone wants to be able to do a muscle up, and we have some pretty strong people in our box. And because they're strong, they feel entitled that they should be able to do a muscle up.
Because they can do most other things.
Yeah. And they can. And, you know, as much as I try and say, well, you need to master the basics, you need to start with the small little, steps. You know, sometimes, you know, you see people doing that and they give up. Sometimes you see people jumping to step five before they've even done step one. And, you know, it's really hard. And you know, sometimes I just want to give them a shake and go, come on, just master it. And I was a way to say, you know, you've got the muscle up on the rings, but you've also got a bar muscle up.
Mm.
And I know there's some people, David can do a bar muscle up. And I know that there's some people, especially during the open, which is often where we see bar muscle ups.
Yeah, you don't tend to do
and,
that.
And you get the chance to show that you can do it. And I can see, like, some people, like, going, well, how can David do that? And I can't. And, you know, I want to just go up to them and go, you didn't see the months and months and months of little tiny progressions that you did before class, after class, and at home.
I literally read the book.
Yeah. You know, you looked at people like Carl Pioli and how they explain how to do a bar muscle up in literal step by step.
Yeah.
You know, you went back to the science of how to do it, the mechanics of
it. Rather than the strength of it.
And you went, this is what I need my body to be able to do in order to be able to get there. And that took ages and a lot of hard work. And I appreciate that, because I've seen you go through all that. But I often think that, you know, a lot of people don't see that. And a lot of people didn't notice you working on all those little steps, because, as we've been saying, there's no glamour in it.
But also, yeah, exactly. And, like, I remember asking one of the guys the guy that did our mobility class, who was a bit of a ninja on these things. I remembered going, I'd like to be able to do a strict ring muscle up. How would you recommend I do that? And he just went, start at the top of the rings and lower yourself down. And that was his advice. Lower yourself down really, really slowly. And I was like, but I want to go up. You know, I want to fling, you know. Hey. And he's like, yeah, but if you can lower yourself down slowly, then you can pull yourself up easy.
Yeah.
Like, pulling yourself up is much easier than lowering yourself down.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. And that's really hard. Yes. Because you go, oh, okay, I'll do that. And then you get, like, 2 inches away from the rings, and then you just, like, fall.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, this is quite hard. No wonder I can't do it the other way. Exactly. So it's, like, and it's little things like that. So you see people do a strict muscle up, and you go, wow, that looks so easy. And it's like, yeah, because they've just built that. They've built that strength. They've built
strength
that
strength and stamina,
and a lot of it, and control. a lot of it, yeah, a lot of it isn't even strength. It's technique. You know, I will say, I am not the strongest person in that box by a long shot, and you know, even the numbers don't show that. But I think for a lot of things, I try and have better technique than a lot of people, and as a result, sometimes I can do something heavier or more than maybe someone who is brute strength stronger than me.
Yeah.
Because I didn't need to work as hard, like, say, like, take a clean. I didn't need to yank it quite so much to get it to do the same thing. I maybe did a slightly better technique, so I didn't have to put in as much energy, so then I could focus on the other bits.
Yeah. I think it all boils down to a topic which I kind of want to come back to eventually, 1 week, and that's the whole concept of your joy should be in your journey. It shouldn't be the end result. It shouldn't be the destination. If you enjoy your journey, if you enjoy how you get to something, then not only when you get it does it become more rewarding.
Yeah.
Because you know what you've been through, but you've enjoyed what you've been through. And yeah, if you don't get to that end point, if you don't get that muscle up, if you don't get that promotion, say the promotion, let's go back to the job example. If you don't get that promotion, then you've enjoyed every single job that you've done up until that point
to get to that promotion. All the work you've done.
Yeah, and all the hours. Hard work that you've done because your joy was in your journey.
Yeah, because otherwise you're like, well, what was the point?
Yeah.
Like, what was the point? I didn't, you know, it's different in every company. You know, we have these cycles probably each year, and that's normally when these kind of things come up. So if you've worked hard for a whole year, and the only reason you've been, not the only reason, but one of the big reasons you've been doing X, Y, or Z is to get that promotion.
Or to just get an increase in your pay.
Yeah. It's to get some kind of reward from that point of view. If you do that for the whole year and they say, nah, sorry, which could have nothing to do with you.
It could be the company's giving no promotions at the moment.
We can't do it this year because we just have been told no. Then you'll be like, oh, well, what was the point? Rather than going, okay, yeah, that does suck because I would like to get some kind of recognition for my work. But you know what? I've actually enjoyed the work I've been doing.
Yeah.
And I do get it. That's tough, especially working-wise. You want that recognition. It's all fair and well. Your boss going, yeah, good job this year. And you're like, right, cheers, thanks, great, whatever. You know, you do want it, but at the same time, if that's the only reason that you were working an extra 2 hours every day was to prove that you needed it,
yeah,
that you deserved it, then you will probably sit there and go, well, that was a waste of time.
Yeah, and I think also that end result, there is no such thing as an end result because it never... We're human beings in the 21st century, you know, it's never ever going to be enough, is it?
Well, yeah. You know, they've done studies. Studies where people have literally won the lottery and a year later they assess their happiness and they're no happier than
they were the normal person
because there's something else that becomes, you know,
desirable
or they're not happy because, well, okay, I have £3 million, but, you know, I wish I had 5. You know, it's like that kind of...
Yeah.
You're never going to... Unless you're those
You get a promotion, then it's suddenly, right, okay, what's the next promotion?
Well, now you're on day one of going for the next one.
You know, you get a muscle up. Well, when can I do 3 in a row?
Yeah, I can't do 2 in a row now. This is rubbish.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's never... You know, yeah, you clean and jerk 100. Oh, I want to do 150.
It's always what's next, what's next, what's next. And if that...
Which is a good thing, because you don't ever want to get to the point in life where you're like, oh, I've completed everything and I'm 45. Well, I'm done.
But I think if the joy is in the journey, then it doesn't matter. You always know it's going to be a continual journey. It's always going to be continuous. And if you're happy in that and you're content in that, then... you're never constantly desiring and seeking something so badly that you're unwilling to be where you are right now.
Yeah.
Or you're unwilling to focus on those basics.
Which is why, I don't know, this is a kind of personal thing for me, I don't like setting goals. You know, a lot of times you set goals at the start of the year or, you know, whenever it is. I don't like that, because what happens is either you totally forget about them, so therefore it's pointless, or... you do remember about it, and in a year's time, you haven't done them, probably for good reason. Half the time, something happened, and you're like, gosh, I didn't even know that that was on the horizon. And you go, oh, so I failed. And you're like, because you're encouraged in your goals to shoot for the stars. Like, you're sitting there going, I've never, like, use the muscle-up example. I've never gotten a muscle-up in my life. In a year's time, I'm going to be able to string five together. So in a year's time, you go... oh, well, I nearly have one. But you're like, no, I'm still miles away.
Or even worse, like, by this time, like, there's so many people who, after the open, and they see muscle-ups in the open, and they're like, this time next year, I'm going to be able to do a muscle-up. Rather than...
comes around again.
It comes around again, and they haven't done a muscle-up. But if you'd gone, well, this time next year, like, I'm probably not going to still be able to do a muscle-up, but... maybe I could do, like, a ring dip without a band.
Yeah, yeah.
And that would be that small, like, basics, mastering the basic step that would eventually lead to you getting a muscle up.
Yeah.
But, you know, you've achieved something and you're happy in achieving
that. Yeah, I suppose, like, going back to the park, the driving thing is like, okay, this time next year I might not have passed my test, but I hope I could parallel park. Like, without even thinking about it.
Yeah.
Because maybe the reason you haven't passed your test is because you actually haven't had time to book your test.
Yeah.
Not because you can't, but because you're like, oh, well, I'm away, and then I've got work, and then, oh, I've got to, oh, when am I going to fit that in? So it's not that you fail. It's just sometimes a lot of things just take longer.
So I think what we need to do, and what I would encourage everyone listening to do, is to change people's view of the basics. Let's make the basics sexy. You know, let's make them something that we're like, oh, look at them. They're working hard on the basics. They're doing all those little steps to be able to get what they want in life. They're doing all those things to be able to, you know, achieve great things. I mean, look at us. We didn't finish university and go, right, okay, we want to live in Perth, you know, or we want to live abroad. Let's do it. No, it took like...
finish university going... can I have a job?
it took a decade to be able to get to that point. Yeah. And within that point, our journey changed. You know, to start with, our aim was just to be able to move up to the Highlands of Scotland and get a house and a car and have a job, you know, and then that changed into something else and it morphed and, you know, but we also realised that it was those small little changes, those small little steps that was going to, goodness me, even if you think about the whole concept of like budgeting for a big trip, you know, so many people just go, I want to go on the big trip, so I'll go into, you know, thousands of dollars of debt to be able to go into that big trip. But you know what makes that big trip more rewarding?
Yeah.
Those $50 that you've been putting aside each month and saving up and culminating to have that money to be able to walk into that travel agent and go, I want to buy my ticket to go to...
the moon.
Azerbaijan.
The moon.
And the moon.
When I go to the moon.
And I can pay it off in full. And I'm going to have such a good trip because I know that I have put in all this hard work to be able to save this money, to be able to go on this trip. That's something sexy. That's something we should reward people, you know, for doing.
Can I just say, I've now got a mental image of you walking in to a travel agent with like dollar bills, even though they don't exist in Australia, but it looks cool. And like literally like...
a wadge of cash. A
wadge of cash. Slam it down and be like, I'm going to the moon. Sorry.
Can I not make it more sexy? Can I not bring in a briefcase and just like...
I'll flick it open.
Yeah. Here is
excuse me, madam, this is actually Monopoly money. Well, yes, I'm paying by card. I don't want to get mugged on the way here, but just pretend.
You know, if you look at CrossFit, it's working on technique. It's working on those little cues, you know, within your lifts to be able to...
Because it will help.
Because it will. It will help you. You know, if it's your career, it's looking at... Like, it's valuing the experience that you're getting, you know. It's valuing all those hours that you're putting in. You know, they will pay off. And as long as you're having fun and you're enjoying yourself, then it's worth it.
And if you're not enjoying it, finding out how you can enjoy it. And that's not necessarily going, well, I don't enjoy this job, so I have to quit and do something else.
Yeah.
That's going, how can I do stuff within this job that might be more fun for me?
Yeah.
You know? And in a lot of jobs, you may be able to, like, push that a wee bit. You could speak to your manager and be like, do you know what? I'm really interested in this element. I'm already doing it, but I'm really interested in learning more about this particular thing. Can we do something so I can focus more on that?
Yeah, or, you
know... And they'll be like, holy crap, someone's super interested.
Or if something comes up, you know, can I get involved in it more?
Because, yeah.
You know, I would really like
because
to do that.
Because they might not even know that.
Yeah. Think of the basics, you know, think of what you want and, you know, talk and speak up. And, like, another example is, like, you know, cooking. You know, create a culinary repertoire of food, you know, like, rather than just... It's not be all and end all, you know. If you wanna make an Italian feast, then maybe, you know, just mastering how to make your own pizza dough first, you know, before you try going down the pasta route and
buying all the equipment.
Yeah, you know.
But I think, and as you say,
it's find out what, you know, and it's okay for you to be rubbish at making pasta. If you really enjoy making pizza and eating pizza and you make a really good pizza, you don't have to be good at pasta.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I really enjoy cooking, and, you know, there's some things where I'm like, no, you know what? I don't cook this because other people are better than me, and I'm quite happy to go and buy what they make or go to a restaurant because, you know, it's okay with me that I can't make, say, pasta. I can't make pasta. So I'll go somewhere and I'll have someone else who can make it, prepare it for me.
So I will go into the travel agent with my briefcase of money and take a trip to Italy and get someone to make pasta for me.
Something like that. But, you know, I'm not sitting there going, well, I'm a terrible cook because I can't make pasta. I'm going, no, I'm a good cook. I can't make pasta, but that doesn't make me a bad cook. Just like not being able to do a muscle up doesn't make me a bad CrossFitter.
Yeah. I think a lot of people put a little bit too much self-worth in these skills. And as we've said, like either in the skill or the level that they're at or whatever. Like I'm rubbish. It's not even I'm a bad cook. It's just I'm rubbish.
Mm.
What, as a person? Because you can't make pasta? Big whoop.
Stop putting so much pressure on yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we aren't saying don't reach for the stars. We're not saying don't even try the fun tricks or test yourself. We're simply saying to remember to master the basics first. Spend time working on the basics often leads to respect from your peers. You know, you think they only notice when you achieve something big? No, they notice when you put in the hard work. They may not acknowledge you at the time, but they see it. You know, how many times have you got a promotion at work actually by surprise? Because they've noticed that you've been putting in all this work and you didn't even realise that they noticed it.
I got one and it was just a letter through the door.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? What's this? And then the next day my boss talked to me about it. I was like, okay.
So don't be disheartened if you can't do something. Just take a step back and work on mastering the basics first. And I guarantee you will have fun, you will enjoy the journey, and wherever it may lead, wherever it takes you, you know, you'll get there. You'll get there.
Bizarre.
So, let's take the tone down to rock bottom and talk about our rants and raves, David. So what's your rant of the week?
Flat inspection. So we have to, you know, the joys of renting,
Every 3 months.
Every 3 months. Go, we come have a look at your flat to make sure you're not a bunch of rogues. And, you know, it's one of those things. Our flat's normally pretty tidy, but when you have an inspection, you're like, oh, I've got to like get in the corners with the wipes and the Hoover and all that. And you know what? It took us a few hours today. You'd done a chunk of it during the week in the kitchen. So it didn't actually take a huge amount of time, but it's just the thought of, oh, we have to do
stuff today. Oh, it's the thought of it, isn't it? It's always the thought.
But it's pretty much done now. We need to clean some windows and some mirrors.
And that's it.
And that's about it.
Cool. My rant is getting lost. So yeah. we went on a really nice
but you said
walk yesterday.
Enjoy the journey.
well, we did enjoy the journey. It was a really lovely walk. But it was one of those things where we had a map and the walk was signposted. But at one point, the signpost takes you the wrong way and then gets you to turn back on yourself. But the map doesn't indicate that this is the case.
No. Like, basically, you turn left and you're supposed to turn left, go for a little bit, do a loop at the other end, and then walk back the other way, and then continue past where you turn left and keep going effectively right. But
the map didn't indicate
It just disappeared off the map.
Yeah. So yeah, that was a bit crazy, which meant that we didn't end up doing the walk that we had intended to do. But it was still really good fun, and we were out in the fresh air, out in the bush, and it was great. And we saw lots of kangaroos.
Did?
Cockatoos.
Parrots.
Parrots.
We heard the kookaburras.
Yeah.
Laughing at us.
Getting lost, yeah. What about your rave?
And we didn't see any snakes.
No snakes. Yes. Woohoo! what about your rave?
It's CrossFit Games weekend.
Woohoo!
And by the time this comes out, it'll all be over, and we'll have won. Hooray! Fill in the blanks. But it's getting good. It's kind of clear that Matt Fraser will probably win the male in case there's a total meltdown. But the women's one is just like, so
yeah,
fun.
And, the rest of the podium for the men is kind of up for grabs.
Yeah,
the third.
So it's pretty cool.
Really exciting. And I want to give big kudos points this year to the CrossFit Games for their app, which has been really good for people like us who are stuck in Australia and the time zone difference.
We're basically
meant,
a day off.
Yeah, it's meant that watching it, I mean, we can't watch it live, but it's meant
we'd
be up in the middle of the night. So it's meant that watching it's been a bit tricky and things like that, but having the app has meant that, like, when I wake up in the morning, I can check the app and it's very clear, you know, the leaderboard's clear, the WODs that have been released have been clear, the, you know, the points difference and where people came within the different events have been really clear. So it's been really easy to use. And
although it's so funny because I'll be like, what's the leaderboard? And you'll tell me, and then you'll be like, so-and-so's got 793 points, so-and-so's got 764, so-and-so's got 700, and I'm like, I don't understand the maths in my head. I've only been up 5 minutes.
Well, that's not my fault that you're not woken up enough.
I just wanted to know 1, 2, 3. But yeah, no, it is really good.
Yeah, no, I think that's my rave as well. That's my rave too. So thanks for listening to this episode, guys. If you have any comments or questions, please email us or check out the website, chasetheredgrape.com. We would love to know what you think about mastering the basics or how doing so has rewarded you. Check out Chase the Red Grape on all social media channels. We are most active over on Facebook and Instagram. And if you have time, leave us a review. Also, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss a podcast. See you all next week for more fun chat and discussion. Bye!
Yeah.